Let's review, all right? We have 12 points that overview the entire Bible. It's a simple way to remember things. And again, I talked about last week, I went to Walk Through the Bible, which is an Old Testament seminar that helps you remember, but there were 71 points, and I'm like, there's no way. I tell people I have two brain cells, and one of them keeps me alive. And if I think too hard, I can't breathe very well. I mean, I think it's true. I mean, it's hard to remember everything. So I came up with something a little easier, and I've worked on it, I don't know, for years and years now, and I refine it some. But I'll leave that up so you can kind of compare it. But I have the chart. You don't have to take notes. I have a completed chart that's actually even in color that I'm going to hand out, a one-sheet chart. But let's just review, okay? I'll give you that all 12 points, the main points, and then each main point has some subpoints. But I think it's easier to remember because it's like a skeleton that other things connect to, okay? So the first one, and actually the first two points are from the Walk Through the Bible. There's four events, then four people. Moses is the third point. Joshua is the fourth point, and you can see up there how it does, even historically. Judges, then we summarize all of 1 Samuel through Kings as Kings, and at the end of Kings and the end of Chronicles is the captivity, and then the return. There were three returns recorded in the Bible. That would be good, too. I could entertain you by falling backwards. So the first 8 points is four events, four people, Moses, Joshua, Judges, Kings, captivity, and return. And we'll help you with those. There's 400 silent years that we don't count as one of the points. There's no prophecy, no leaders or anything. And then Jesus comes on the scene, and we call that point, the first point in the New Testament is Savior. Savior. It covers the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then there's the church, which begins in the book of Acts. Okay? And by the way, most of the books of the New Testament fit there in the book of Acts or after, but in the church age, if you will. Then, chronologically, the church age is still going on. Then it's end times. We have three main points for end times, and then eternity. So there's Savior, church, end times, eternity. That's the entire New Testament, 27 books, if you remember that, in a chronological way, okay? Now let's review these. So that if you weren't here last week, it's pretty easy to remember still, okay? So it's four events. Can you say that with me? Four events. Oh, that was, if I was kind, I would say that was pathetic. Let's try it again. Four events. Four events, okay? Four events like this. It starts out, it's pretty easy. Again, these are from Walk Through the Bible. Creation, right? Genesis 1, 2, 3. The fall, the flood, and then Babel, where the people were separated because God confused their languages. That's where the languages came from. So creation, fall, flood, Babel. Got it? Four events, four things that happened, four major things that happened. Creation, fall, flood, Babel. Okay? That takes you up to Genesis 10. It covers 2,000 years. Okay? Four events. What comes next for those of you who were here last week? Four people. All right? Which is the rest of the book of Genesis. And we just go like this to remember them. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. That's great-grandpa, grandpa, you know, dad and son, if you think of it as far as relationship goes. We're still studying Abraham in Sunday school, who started out as, what was his name before Abraham? Abram, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. So we have how many events? Four events. Creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And again, that's just what the rest of Genesis covers. Okay, these four primary patriarchs. It isn't that they don't cover other people, but those are the four key people that are the rest of the book of Genesis. By the way, you've covered only one book, but you've covered a third of the history of the world in the book of Genesis. Okay? That's how long it is. By the way, it's about 300 years for the Abraham to Joseph. And then they were in the Egypt for 400 years after that. Okay? So you have four events: creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. What happens after Joseph? Or should I say, who happens after Joseph? This is still review. Moses. If you remember the acronym Moses, M-O, we can say S-E, and another S, right? How you spell Moses? Pretty easy, five-letter word. What happens after Genesis? Moses shows up, and they go through all the 10 plagues and all that after he comes back, right, from the wilderness. And there's the Exodus, the mass exit, as we call it. The M stands for mass exit. This nation of probably over 2.5 million people leaves Egypt after all of the plagues, all right? I told you last week, they even filmed it. It was that big of a deal. That's a joke, right? But the mass exit, that's the book of Exodus. The word Exodus means the way out, the road out, okay? So Moses, the first letter of Moses is M. It means mass exit, and that covers most of the book of Exodus. Then the O. What happened in the book of Exodus at Mount Sinai? Yeah, the law was given, right? Remember, even Moses broke them the first time down because they were already being bad? But we use the term ordinances because that helps us remember with the O, right? The ordinances were given. God gave the ordinances, not just the Ten Commandments. As I understand it, there's like 613 commandments in the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments are a summary list, right? It's kind of almost like a table of contents, if you think about it, categories. Okay, so mass exit, they take off with the M, and then O is ordinances given, the law is given. Then they get to the edge of the promised land, and Moses commanded 12 men to do what? Spy. So we use the term, the letter S, and I do like this. It makes an S, and then you just turn it sideways for spies, right? That's binoculars, kind of. All right, maybe not, but that helps me remember, right? Spy sent. So mass exit, ordinance is given, spy sent. That's at the end of Exodus. And guess what? They went in, right? They conquered the land. Everything was good. What happened? They said no to God. They said they're too big. They're too strong. We don't want to go. Why did you bring us here to take us back to Egypt? So God said, because we're worried about our kids. You know, we don't want to go in because of our kids. That was their excuse. And God says, well, you know what? We'll take care of that. We won't let you go in to worry about your kids. We'll let you wander for 40 years. And that's what the E stands for in Moses. Extended wandering. They wandered for 40 years. Extended wandering. So mass exit, the ordinances given, the Ten Commandments and others, including all of Leviticus. And then the spies were sent. They said no to God. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Extended wandering. And then Deuteronomy. We help you remember this. What's a duet? It's two people singing. Deuteronomy is two. You think of that, it's the second giving of the law. The word Deuteronomy means second law. That's what it means. Deuter, two, or second, and then onimos, it's Greek for law, the second giving of the law. And it's repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe it is. 6, 5 or 6, I always get those confused. So the Ten Commandments are repeated. So it's the Deuteronomy, the second law. And that's Moses' sermon, three sermons before he dies. Okay, so it's right at the end there. So Moses, mass exit, ordinances given, spies sent, extended wandering, and the second law. All right, so what do we have so far? We're just reviewing here. Four events: creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. That should be an easy one. Then after Joseph is Moses. M is mass exit. O is ordinances given. That's the giving of the law and all of the stuff like Leviticus and all that. The third is spies sent. They said no to God, extended wandering. And then S, the second law. All right, the giving of the second law. Who comes after Moses? Who's Moses' helper? Joshua, right? So there's 15 years of Joshua leading. Joshua was like 120 years old when he went into the promised land, when he became the leader. So there's 4 points there. These all start with a D, okay? Sign language D, all right? The chapter 1 and chapter 24 are by themselves. They kind of stand alone. Moses dies. So what they do first in chapter 1 is draw strength. Draw strength. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, but, you know, go in and take the land kind of thing. God tells them. So draw strength. And then what do? They go in, starting with Jericho, and divide the land over a 15-year period. And then chapter 24, Joshua says to them, choose you this day whom we will serve, whether it's the gods in Egypt or God. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So decide. So draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. Choose you this day and we will serve. Okay? Who comes or what comes after Joshua? Timeline-wise. Yeah, the judges, right? 430-some years of the judges. 435, I think. The judges. You can summarize the book of Judges in this way. The people fall into sin. God lets them become slaves, so slavery. And then God sends them a deliverer, a savior. That's what the judges are. They're not people that wear robes and sit behind a counter and, you know, hear attorneys' arguments. They're people that deliver other people. They're saviors, okay? So sin, slavery, God sends them a savior, rescues them, and then a little bit later they fall back into sin, slavery, savior. Sin, slavery, savior. Seven cycles of that. Okay, in the book of Judges, sin, slavery, savior. Sin, slavery, savior. Lots of different judges, but seven main cycles of that. And then the last judge and the first prophet is, we go down here, Samuel. So it's sin, slavery, savior, three S's, and then it's the fourth S. The last main judge and the first primary prophet is Samuel. And that reminds us what comes next. Samuel ordained the first king. So it's kings, all right? You remember this by SDSD. You know who the first king of Israel is, right? Saul. And then who's after Saul? David. And then who took over after David? Solomon. Now after Solomon, it was Rehoboam. But what did Rehoboam do? He divided the kingdom. So it's Saul, David, Solomon, and divided kingdom. Okay, it was over after that. Each one of them reigned about 40 years. Then Rehoboam comes along and splits the kingdom. 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south. And guess what happened to those? Both kingdoms. Next point. The kings is the... It's Saul or Samuel ordained the king, first king. So it's kings. What happened to those two kingdoms? They were both carried off into captivity. Captivity. The northern 10 tribes... In 722 B.C. by Assyria, they were carried off. Not all of them, but they mixed them up. They take a bunch of them and then bring other people in. They tried to mix people up culture-wise so they lose their identity. The southern kingdom, the southern two tribes, Judah, the north was Ephraim, is usually what it was called. The southern two tribes, known by Judah, the largest tribe of the two, was carried off in 586 B.C. by anyone? The king of this empire ate grass for 7 years. Yeah, Babylon, right? So the northern tribes were carried off by Assyria. The southern tribes were carried off by Babylon. Again, not all of them. By the way, the first carrying away of the southern kingdom involved Daniel, as well as his friends. They took a large number of the biggest and the best and the brightest to be used for their courts and stuff, okay? So Daniel occurred during that time. All right? And then You have a king's captivity, and then you have a return. That's the last point of the Old Testament, a return. There's three returns, and they only record returns from the southern kingdom. Okay? And it spells the word Zen. We don't believe in Far Eastern religions. That's just a way to remember it, okay? The first return was under a man named Zerubbabel. This is the first part of the book of Ezra, by the way. Zerubbabel, he returned under the decree of Cyrus the king, who probably was living still. Daniel was still living during that time. A lot of people think that Daniel might have written the decree that Cyrus did. He acknowledged the God of the universe. It's interesting. But Zerubbabel was a descendant of David. He was a rightful heir to the throne. He returned with 50,000 people, and his primary task was to relocate and to rebuild the temple. So Zerubbabel rebuilt what? The temple. It took him forever. That's why Zechariah and Haggai got on their case. Okay? But 50,000 people rebuilt the temple. Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. Got it? It wasn't as nice or as fancy, but they did. The second return, there's a gap. That's when Esther happens. And the second return, chapters 7 through 10 of Ezra, is Ezra himself. He was a scribe. A scribe was someone that copied the word of God. Okay, so they knew a lot. No one else had much. They didn't have printing presses and all that, so very few people got that opportunity. He returned with about 5,000 people. And I say, to summarize, he rebuilt the people. Okay, so Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple, but Ezra rebuilt the people. They had already fallen into marrying people that weren't on God's side. They were already doing their own thing, and he called them to repentance, and they repented. Okay, so Ezra rebuilt the what? People. Zerubbabel, the... Ezra, the... And then Nehemiah, we all know this, and there's the last book up there. Nehemiah rebuilt the wall in like a short time. It was amazing. Like, I don't know, it's a very short time while they were being pummeled by all their enemies. So the three returns, Zerubbabel returns with 50,000, rebuilds the temple. Ezra returns with 5,000, rebuilds the people. Nehemiah returns pretty much on his own. He asked the king, he was the king's cupbearer, he said, can I go back? Because the people were just having terrible because they didn't have protection and all that. And he went back and rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. That's the entire Old Testament. Four events: creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Then comes Moses. Mass exit, ordinances given, spies sent, extended wandering, second law. Then Joshua, draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. Judges, sin, slavery, savior. Sin, slavery, savior. Sin, slave, seven cycles. The last judge, last primary judge, first primary prophet, ordains the kings. So it's kings. So it was Saul, David, Solomon, divided kingdom. What happened to those kingdoms? They were carried off into captivity. The 10 northern tribes, 722 BC by Assyria. Two southern tribes, 586 BC by Babylon. Three returns are recorded. It spells Zen, okay, just for a reminder. Zerubbabel returns with 50,000 people, rebuilds the temple. Zerubbabel temple. You don't even have to remember the amount, but Zerubbabel temple, by the way, he brought all of the stuff back that was in the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had taken. Pretty amazing. Then Ezra returns later on. He was not a person that lived at least as closely with Zerubbabel, but he lived during the time of, he was still around when Nehemiah came. But Ezra came, he rebuilds the people. Then Nehemiah comes and rebuilds the wall. There's 400 silent years. Four more points. You ready? We got about 5 minutes. We might make it into 10. You ready? Anyone remember what I told you? That's 8 points. It's the entire Old Testament chronologically. 8 points with, I think, reasonably easy to remember subpoints. 39 books of the Bible. New Testament. The Gospels talk about the Savior coming. So Savior. What are the Gospels? Matthew. I taught this to the kids a week ago, Wednesday night. We learned the books of the New Testament. Most of them knew it already. But the Gospels are the good news. Each of them talks about Jesus. Okay? So Savior. So this roughly covers the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But there's 5 points, and if you just think about your life, my life, it's kind of the same. You start out by your birth. Okay, that's probably the closest that it'll come, because hopefully these others won't happen. But he had a ministry. There's not a lot of information from the time Jesus is born until he's in ministry. Okay? You see him at a point in time when he's a little bit older, but otherwise it's pretty much silent until he goes into public ministry. Okay, so birth, ministry, then his crucifixion. We just call it death. Birth, ministry, his death on the cross. What happens after that? It's all over. Pack your books, go home. No, 3 days later, it's the resurrection. He rises again. Okay, and then this is a word, and he went up to heaven, ascension. Okay, so birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension, or going back to heaven. He went into the clouds. That's Acts chapter 1. Okay? So Savior, his birth, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. 5 points, but it's just chronological of his life. His ministry was about 3 years of his life, right? So Savior, birth, ministry, his 3+ years of ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection, he rises from the dead 3 days later, and then about 40 days later, he goes into heaven. What comes after the Savior? He says, you stick around in Jerusalem until I endue you with power. So I'll send you the Spirit, okay? That happens in Acts chapter, 2? He tells them in chapter 1. It happens, I think, in either that or later on in chapter 1. But it's church. The church doesn't start till the day of, anyone? Pentecost, okay? That's when the Holy Spirit indwelt them, and I believe, as I understand it, that's when they were baptized in, by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, okay? We're all baptized into one Spirit. Okay, so the church comes into being, the body of Christ, the assembly of God, so to speak. Okay, this one I have to cheat on. The reason is I have two different outlines for the church. The first one, I got to remember what I have. I had this on here, didn't I? Sorry, I forgot all about it. I had the slideshow. Okay, I have 5 P's, okay? Let me get down to where we're at here. Here's the Savior. So birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension. Okay, roughly, some say even 6 BC because of the problems with the calendars and stuff. And then the church, and I think I have, there we go. I'll give you all 5 of them. But Pentecost, we already said the church starts at Pentecost, and right at the beginning, they start getting persecuted. And by the way, really, with the persecution, there should be an arrow after or a dot, 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 because the persecution is occurring even to this day. So it begins, but it doesn't end. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. Right? So Pentecost starts the church. Persecution begins immediately. They kill James, the brother of John. They stone Stephen. They're beating the apostles more than once, right? And say, don't speak in this man's name anymore and all that. And they said, well, you decide whether we should obey God or man. The second time, Peter just says, we'll obey God rather than men. Okay? And then the biggest chunk, or the first chunk of Acts is Peter going to the Gentiles, or I mean to the Jews. Ooh. Peter and the Jews, okay, through about chapter 13. That's where he talks to Cornelius, who's a Gentile, or ends up being a Gentile, and that's kind of the transition. So Peter goes to the Jews, and then Paul, the rest of the book, is Paul, for the most part. Peter's in there a little bit, in Acts chapter 15, for example. And then Paul is primarily the apostle to the Gentiles. In fact, we're probably here largely because of Paul. Because of his efforts. And then, present day, I put in parentheses. So you have the Pentecost, the beginning of the church, persecution, which begins at the beginning of the church. Then the rest of Acts is Peter going to the Jews, and then Paul going to the Gentiles. Okay? And then that brings us up chronologically to the present day. All of the epistles, for the most part, are written during the church. Well, they are written, but they talk about things that were happening during the church age about the time of Acts. You can place some of it even in the book of Acts, the Thessalonica, the Colossae, the different churches that Paul, or the places Paul went to and established churches there. Okay? You can see all of this here, Acts all the way down to the first four chapters of the book of Revelation. Now, parts of these books tell us about the next point. So you have Savior, Church. The next one is End Times. Now, if you grew up in church, these are familiar to you because we had, growing up, Pastor Jim will probably affirm this too, but for whatever reason, and I'm not saying it's wrong, it just seemed to be a little all of this, but not a lot of anything else, was we had prophecy conferences or end times conferences or whatever, which isn't bad. We got really good at that, but we didn't really talk about other things, right? So, but there's three main events. Who can tell me what the main events are in end times chronologically? What happens next? The rapture, okay? That's when believers, the body of Christ, are caught up. We meet in the Lord in the air, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, right? So the rapture. What's interesting about each one of these is they each end up in some kind of judgment. So the rapture ends up in judgment. What's the judgment for us? Like, I thought we were saved. We weren't under judgment. You know what? We're saved not because of what we do. We're saved because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, right? But guess what? God says he will reward us for our works. He will judge us. It's called the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, right? Who? Believers are involved in this? What? The Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, where we are rewarded for what is eternal. There will be loss of things that we are spending our time on that have no eternal value. Wood, hay, stubble, right? Or gold, silver, precious stones. It talks about that. We will be rewarded for our works. There's crowns, there's different things. There's even people that the Bible talks about will have a better resurrection because they did not, I'm trying to think, it's in Hebrews 11, they did not get out of being put to death. I'll have to look it up later, but it's Hebrews that they might obtain a better resurrection. It doesn't mean that they're saved, but God will honor them because they gave their lives for him, okay? There's different kinds of rewards. And then the tribulation period. How long is the tribulation? That's right after the rapture, as we understand it, at least sometime right after. How long is the tribulation period? 7 years. And there's a lot of theology that goes into that, but there's reason for it. The tribulation is primarily to focus on Israel. Okay? And 7 years falls into that. Who? The nations? God works with all the people on the earth that are left. And what is the judgment? The judgment is the Battle of Armageddon. And then he spends time afterward judging the sheep and the goats. You hear about it in Matthew chapter 25. So at the end of the tribulation period, God judges those that aren't saved and kills them. Okay? So only the saved people enter the next part here. Anyone know what the next part is? Millennium, yes, thank you. The millennium, all right? This is what, it's a little bit distinct for those that are of a dispensational flavor. Everything is defined by your view of the millennium. You're either premillennial, which means Jesus comes before the millennium, okay? And usually those, most of them would see the millennium as 1,000 years. Okay, because the Bible calls the millennium 1,000 years, okay? It says that he'll reign for 1,000 years. These things will happen for 1,000 years. There's amillennial. Ah in front of millennium means you don't believe in a literal millennium. Okay? And then there's a postmillennial, which means that God will come at the end. There's a couple different views of postmillennialism. Some say that God, everything will get better and better and better until Jesus comes to earth. And some will say, no, it doesn't get better, but Jesus comes to the earth at the end. Okay, and a lot of people talk about the kingdom of God. That's what they're talking about here. They believe it's now in this kind of millennial way. And we would say, no, God's over everything, but it's not the millennial kingdom. Who is judged at the end of the millennial kingdom? It's unbelievers. Satan is released for a short bit. Believe it or not, and all these people that were born and grown up during the millennium still rebel against God. Not all of them, but a good number. And God just destroys them. And it ends with the great white throne judgment. They destroyed, and then the earth and heaven pass away. There's no more sea. God judges them in Revelation chapter 20. Now I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Talking about the unsaved people. And they are judged, each one according to their works, by the things that are written in the books. Okay? And anyone not found written in the book of life is cast in the lake of fire. So you have end times. Savior, birth, ministry, death, resurrection, ascension, church, Pentecost, persecution, which is ongoing, Peter to the Jews, Paul to the Gentiles, and then to the present day, we're still in the church age. Then end times, you have the rapture that ends with the bema seat for us, the judgment seat of Christ. You have the tribulation, which ends in Armageddon. And then there's a judgment afterward for quite a while on earth. And then there's the millennial kingdom where Jesus rules on earth. And even with the perfect environment, people who are born during that time, many of them will rebel at the end. Which shows you that our problem is not the outside, it's the inside, right? It's this, our sin. Okay? And the last one here is eternity. What happens after that? I don't know. I do know that everyone that was ever conceived will live forever. The issue is not whether you will exist forever, it's in what state and with whom. Right? In reality, because we're all eternal beings going forward. And it's good news or bad news. And you can break eternity into two parts, two groups of people. Unbelievers, forever away from God, right? They don't cease to exist. The dead, small and great, are standing before God in Revelation 20, and the books are open. All of the people that have not been redeemed by God from the beginning of time until that time are judged. And by the way, they're not sent to hell because of their works. Bottom line, they're sent to hell because they ultimately have rejected God's grace. Okay? Just like the animal skins in the Garden of Eden, right? Or Cain and Abel. He decided to have a different type of offering that did not require blood. And it's like God gives you a choice, but ultimately you reject him or you accept him, and that's your end result. But forever away from God. People live forever. They exist forever. The issue is, are you reconciled to God or not? That's the ultimate determination. But they're judged. We're going to talk about in the adult Sunday school class today. It'll be worse for you in the day of judgment than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. There's different levels of punishment, and that is based upon works. Okay? Just like us going to heaven, we don't enter heaven because of our own. We cannot. We have nothing to avail ourselves. We're sinners and we deserve God's judgment. The propitiation, the satisfactory payment of Jesus gets us into heaven, and only that. But then God rewards us based upon our works in heaven. Okay? So he does he have to? No, but that's what he said he'll do. The same thing. Do you think it'll be the same judgment for Adolf Hitler as it will be for someone with his level of crime? I believe that the Bible teaches that Adolf Hitler will have it worse than other people because of what he's done. But it's interesting, too, that people that heard the gospel from Jesus during his time will have it worse than Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Why? Because they had the truth and they rejected it. So our measure of bad might not equate to God's measure of bad, okay? What do they have? Forever away from God in the lake of fire, the Bible says in Revelation 20, verse 15. It's torment. It's eternal torment away from God. and they're rewarded for their works. Okay? They're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the determining factor. They're judged by their works as far as the level of punishment. So unbelievers forever away from God, and believers forever with God. Doesn't that make all the difference? Isn't that what God sent Jesus for? Be reconciled to God. God wants you right with Him. God wants you righteous with His righteousness so you can spend eternity with Him. And God sent His Son so that could happen. Right? What do we get? The new heaven instead of the lake of fire. We get the new heaven, the new earth. We will not spend eternity in heaven, will we? We'll spend eternity on the new earth, the Bible says, where the Trinity comes and dwells among men. The tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His God. He will be their God, and they shall be His people. Okay? The New Jerusalem, all of that is there. Blessing, no more tears, no more pain, no more death, and then we're rewarded for our works in different ways. There's different levels. Some will be, I believe, ruling. Others, you know, it's to be in heaven is not bad. But to be in heaven with, or if you will, on the new earth with the rewards and blessing of God is better. And He encourages us to do that. So you have Savior, church, end times, and eternity. Got it? Now, let me hand these out. Here's the review, by the way, of all 12. You guys want to hand these out? Okay, so there's four events. Go ahead, take them. 12 points. While they're handing them out, I'll review one more time, okay? Four events. Creation, fall, flood, Babel. Four people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. After Joseph, Moses. Mass exit, ordinance is given, right, the law. Spies sent. They say no, extended wandering, second law. After Moses is Joshua. Draw strength, defeat, divide, decide. Judges, sin, slavery, Savior. Sin, slavery, Savior. Seven major cycles. The last judge, the first prophet, Samuel, who ordains the first king, who's Saul, then David, then Solomon. His son divides the kingdom. Those kingdoms are carried off into captivity. The northern 10 tribes, 722 BC, by Assyria. The southern 2 tribes, 586 BC, by Babylon. There's 3 returns, 3 phases of return from Babylon in the Old Testament for the southern 2 tribes. It spells the word Zen. Zerubbabel returns with about 50,000 people, rebuilds the temple. Ezra returns with about 5,000 people, rebuilds the people. He encourages them spiritually. Then you have Nehemiah, who returns pretty much on his own, his small cohort, and rebuilds the wall. There's 400 silent years, okay? Then you have the Gospels, the Savior. His birth, a lot of people like to call it Christmas, birth, His ministry, His death on the cross, His resurrection, and His ascension. Those are 5 key areas. You have the church. You have the church begins at Pentecost. Right after that, you have persecution, which continues to this day all over the world. Some places worse than others. You have Peter that goes primarily to the Jews. Paul primarily to the Gentiles. And that takes us to the present day. Then you have end times. There's 3 main events for the end times. You have the rapture, which ends. It's the believers that are caught up. Are taken to the bema seat of Christ, to the judgment seat, judged for their works. Not for salvation, but for reward. Then you have the tribulation period, 7 years, that God works with the nations. It ends in the battle of Armageddon, where God destroys His physical enemies. We return with Him, by the way. That will be amazing. Okay, and then He actually sorts out the sheep and the goats at the beginning of the millennium. Judgment and wipes out all the unsaved. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, the millennium, there's a judgment. There's a big rebellion. Satan is loosed from the pit, the bottomless pit, and he gathers an innumerable number of people that want to rebel against Jesus. And Jesus wipes them out right away. And then ultimately, the earth and the heavens flee away, and God judges all unbelievers of all time and casts them into the lake of fire. That's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And then you have eternity. You have two groups of people. It's either unbelievers that are forever away from God, paying the penalty for all of your sins, or forever with God because you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because He paid the penalty and gave you His righteousness, and then you're forever with God on the new earth. Okay? So I've just covered the entire Bible like multiple times. You see your notes here? Any questions on the notes? Does it cover everything? Everything there? This is a work in progress. I've worked on it for years and years and years now, I think. And I changed some things even this time around to make it a little easier to remember. But I encourage you, just pop this in your Bible, and it helps you to see where everything fits. Okay? And then even the chart that I handed out earlier, it helps too. So, all right. Preach to the entire Bible. I'm tired. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us to be good students of Your Word and understand it. Lord, we know there's way more than we can ever fit in our brains. And Lord, even the fade factor where we forget so much, but help us to learn it well enough so that we can kind of understand where things fit in and kind of like your timetable for our time. Help us to live for You as we learn about You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.